Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, folks, this is Carl. We're going to be on here very shortly with Freedomizer Radio Bible Study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. Bear with me here a minute. Okay, Raven, you ought to be here, right?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and say a prayer for the Spirit to run this, and we'll get rolling.
All right. Father, we appreciate so much your mercy and grace and your love for us that you would send your Son to be the ultimate sacrifice for us so that we can be with you for eternity. We ask that today that you would allow your Holy Spirit to give us the words to say, not only to us and to our spirit, but so that others who will come and listen can understand your word. We only want to do your will, Lord, and to have this ministry be only yours, not ours. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, we're going to get rolling here and give you a phone number if anybody wants to call in, and obviously not to probably listen to it, but call in, and unless you're listening to it on internet, the computer or something. You can call this number, 319-527-6208, 319-527-6208. Ask a question or make a comment, but please keep the comments or the questions pertinent to the context of the subject matter so we don't get waylaid here and go after rabbit trails. Not that everything in the scripture isn't important, but I just like if we could focus on questions pertinent to the study we're doing. And I don't think anybody's ever called. We've had people call for a lot of other reasons, unfortunately, but I don't think anyone's ever called with questions regarding the context of what we're discussing. Last week we finished Judges chapter 1, and we saw in Judges chapter 1 where there were a lot of instances where God had told them what to do in specifically, not just in vague, like sell all you got and give me your money. It wasn't just vague stuff. It was specifics. Go into a land. Go in and attack them by night. Go in and after you've attacked them and defeated the enemy, kill all men, women, and children, animals, and take nothing. Then he'd go into another, and the people would do it, and they would be successful. Then after a while, like human nature has it, we think, well, God, I've now got this. I really don't need your input on these things. And we, it's just human nature. And then they started to make little modifications. For instance, they went in, and I can go back to one where, and I can't remember the character's name, but God told them, don't take any of the spoil. That means none of the people. You're to destroy everybody. Well, he destroyed those he wanted to destroy. He did not destroy the women. He decided he would take them for his good pleasure, and they failed. I want to highlight something in my own necessity in my life here. It is not only very important that we pray what James 1:5 says, when you lack wisdom, ask God who gives you wisdom. He will give it if you ask. But we've also got to stay close to God on the details. What to do, where to do it, when to do it, how to do it. And we've got to be very careful. Because we're going to backtrack a little bit into a chapter that's not Judges. We're eventually going to get to Judges chapter 2, but it's going to be into Numbers chapter 31. And Numbers chapter 31 is going to be very good examples of God giving specific instructions. And he tells you where to go and what to do. But then when you get there, he's very detailed about what he wants. So I am saying that not only do we have to pray the prayer of James 1 for at 1:5 for God to give us the wisdom on what to do, but we've also got to walk in the Spirit, I guess is the best way you can say it biblically, according to Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8, especially 7 and 8. But it takes continuous communication with God by prayer and by scripture reading and by meditation. Meditation, I don't mean transcendental meditation. By meditation, maybe I can use another phrase and just say, having your mind on the things of God rather than the things of the world. It does, because God is very specific. And if you're going to get creative, or you're going to let your church, your pastor, your denomination, your prejudices against other denominations, whatever it would be, including your own mind, your own leadership, if you're going to take their decisions and their statements about what to do without even asking God, you're going to fail. Now, you may not fail according to man. In fact, you could build a pretty good financial empire, but God's not interested in that. When I say fail, I don't mean fail in front of your own goals or come short of your own goals or fail in front of man. We got churches today, I would say the great majority of the churches today before COVID have been the epitome of success according to man's way of measuring. But according to God's way of measuring, we've been utter failures. And that is the Church of Laodicea. And I don't think anyone can read the Church of Laodicea in Revelation 3, 14 through 17. I don't think it's possible humanly to read that and not see that this is the church in this country today. Not saying it's not in other countries, but I think it is the predominant church in this country today. So we're going to get specific in this Numbers chapter 31, and we're going to go into read verses 1 through 24. And I want you to just see the consequences when you're obeying God as far as a general call. But when you're not listening to God for the specifics of carrying out the ministry he's given you, remember, it's not our ministry. None of this is our ministry. It's Amen. His ministry. He is allowing us to do it, but he only wants it done his way. All right, why don't we go ahead and go to Numbers 31 if you want to add anything before we start, but we can read the first five verses. And if you have any comments before we start, go right ahead.
You know, there's something interesting, Carl. There's an old phrase, an old saying, whatever you want to call it, which I'm quite sure you've heard before, that says the devil is in the details.
Being I'm old, yes, I probably heard it. Go
ahead. Well, I'm not that far behind you.
I'm less than 6 months from 80. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. But, there are some days, Carl, when I feel like I'm not that far. But it's an old phrase that says the devil is in the details.
Right.
Well, here's something interesting. What it means is that, something might seem easy, but it's actually complicated.
If you don't pay attention to them.
Right. Well, here's what's interesting, though. It comes from an earlier phrase, God is in the details. Which means
that
if you're going to do...
I was unaware of
that. Yeah. Yeah, which means that if you're going to do something, do it right, because the details are important. They're
exactly.
important.
That's exactly what we're pointing at here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And I just thought I'd bring that up because, you know, the phrase, which was originally God is in the details, got you know, turned around and sort of forgotten, because you hardly ever hear somebody say it that way, you know,
Never.
And that was what the original phrase was, that God is in the details. It's important. It's important to pay attention to the details. And this is exactly what you're talking about today, is that, you know, pay attention to the details that God gives you, to every single point that he gives us, because, you know, he's not telling us to do it his specific way for no reason. He gives us all those little details for an important reason, and we're not supposed to just say, well, you know, I can just kind of get the general idea of it. No, we have to follow every single thing, because look what happened in Judges when they said, well, we can just do part of it.
I think the biggest roadblock that I see, and I'm not being hard on a church because I don't belong to a certain denomination that I want you, there are people in my church, so my tithe goes up. I have no church, but just from observing of what's going on, I think the biggest problem is people have gotten away from even asking God what to do. They will always go to a pastor. They will always go to an expert, a church board, a Christian psychologist.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
If this was a secular topic.
Yeah.
And I was studying a particular course.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading whatever the lectures were on, or the course or anything, and I was reading a textbook, and that textbook was written by an individual or two individuals, or a theory, or I'm studying a theory, a postulate, whatever. Why? Well, in the regular secular world, we would normally not go to other people to see what the author meant. We go to the author, according to assuming he was still alive. But if the author wasn't alive, you go into other books. For instance, I studied, in college, I studied physics. And with Einstein's, even with Einstein's theories, and I'm not going to say I understand them, I understand the direction it was going in, or I did. But again, if you wanted to understand what Einstein's mathematics were in making a thought and an idea about physics or astronomy or whatever, you would go and research things that he had written about mathematics. Now, I'm not doing this to get complicated. I'm saying, why is it that the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, if we're Christians, and that's that, if we're born again,
yes.
Well, let's say we are, the churches will point you to everybody in the world but prayer first. Why are we not told, Carl, don't do anything, don't even come and see me, don't give a tithe, do nothing until you pray the prayer of James 1:5 and ask God for the wisdom? That fascinates me, because in the regular world, we wouldn't do that.
You're right.
In the regular, we wouldn't. But in the, and even in church, Raven, I hear, we're going to go to this expert. We're going to go to a Christian psychologist. I can't understand. You know, I I've studied a lot in my youth about athletics, because I had dreams one day of playing Major League Baseball. And I'll never forget when I had certain people, like one guy that I emulated, I caught from the time I was 10 years old. And there was a guy named Roy Campanella that was a player for the Brooklyn Dodgers, a catcher.
Okay.
And to me, he was not a fluid type catcher, but his mechanics were perfect. And what I even did as a 10-year-old, I went to the library and got books on that Roy Campanella wrote about how he caught. I just am fascinated in the churches, even the well-intended ministers that I know or have heard that I judge as well-intended. I can't say never. That would be a cheap shot. You very rarely ever hear anybody say, before you do anything, including join my church, pray to the Holy Spirit. In fact, Raven, I will give due where it's due. I take that back. I heard one person say that, and that was a Pastor Bob, and you know his last name. When the place you and I were going to, when Eric was shutting the church down.
Yes.
I take it, and this is the only time in 36, going on 37 years, I've heard it. And I went to his church, and he said, are you thinking about joining? And I says, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Our church, the pastor is burned out. And he did say this, and I've never heard it in my life before or since that I can recall. He said, before you do anything, pray to God for what you should do. And I'll give him credit for that. He did. So what we're going to see here in Numbers 31, we're going to detail exactly what the Israelites did for 450 years. When things started to get good, they didn't need God anymore. Have you ever brought any of your kids or grandkids that are real young to school, like first grade?
My kids were homeschooled.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you bring the kid in and you've got to take them into class. They're shy. By the end of 3 or 4 weeks, they don't even want you there anymore. I've got it. That's the way we are in this. We go to man's opinion. We go to people with college degrees. I'm not criticizing college. I spent four miserable years there. I got through it, but I hated every minute. But I'm not criticizing education.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, folks, go to God. We're going to see the importance of this, and we're taking a parenthetical verse here of Numbers 31, 1 through 24. And this is in everything you do, not to just conquer the enemies. What ministry? Mm-hmm. I've got an opportunity, Raven, that I haven't told you about because it just happened recently. I don't think I have. That may be coming, but I prayed to God for about 4 or 5 weeks before I pursued it. I'm now praying to him that I want his will, even though I want to do it. I want his will. But this is not the way I've always lived my life. So let's go to Numbers 31 and read 1 through 5.
Okay. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance for the children of Israel on the Midianites. Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, arm some of yourselves for the war, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel you shall send to the war. So there were recruited from the divisions of Israel 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war.
Okay. The Lord spoke to Moses. That's all I want us to listen to, folks, is the Lord. But unless you go to him, you're not going to hear him. And he says, avenge the children of Israel. I just look at what Moses said. Moses spoke to the people, and he told them what? Avenge the people of the Lord of Midian. And he gave them exactly the directions God did. Notice Moses didn't add anything, didn't subtract anything. He didn't embellish it. He didn't give them any ulterior motives. Like, just think of all the unmarried women that are going to be there that we're going to capture as spoil, which they did in those days. In some cases, God allowed it to happen, and some he didn't. And
right.
Then he even gives them, out of each tribe, take 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel. And there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe and 12,000 armed for war. Now, verse 4 is God's direction. God told him to take 1,000 out of each tribe. And you see where Moses in chapter 5 did. Okay, let's keep going, 6 through 10.
Then Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to the war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed
That's
all the
key.
Males.
That's the key. Do you do it just as the Lord said, just as he said? Do you think maybe
yes.
there's some additions in there, some deletions? That really, God, they're not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. Worry about something. No, you do it only as the Lord said. Do I do this
yes.
and everything? I doubt it. Go ahead.
And they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, namely Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hor, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captive with their little ones and took as spoil all their cattle, all their flocks, and all their goods. They
now
also burned with fire.
You remember, and we'll go ahead with that, and then I'll say it.
They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their forts.
Okay, do you remember, and we read a couple of weeks ago where God told them, do not take the women or the children or the cattle. See, this is where we got to be specific. But if you're listening to Pastor Carl or Christian psychologist Carl, without even seeking God's wisdom on something, folks, you're going to fail. You're going to fail in God's measurement, and that's all that counts. Whether
yeah.
man, whether your accomplishments in man's kingdom. In fact, Malachi said it very good. You know, we look at there's a tremendous verse in Malachi where the people say to God, how have we robbed you, God? Because God accuses them of robbing. And he says, robbing them, him. And they say, how have we done that? And God says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Verse 8 of Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, I'm saying. Folks, I don't care how much money you're given. If you're giving to someone who, and okay, I'm going to go here to verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. If you are donating and giving continuously to a ministry, or to anybody that is not using them for the work of God, the money, the assets, the resources, but they're feathering their own nest. They're feathering their own, they're building their own empire by adding more and more and more and more with a theory. And I've been in meetings where they say, the bigger we get, the more people we get on staff, the more people we'll have come to church, and the more people in church, the more money. I've actually heard that said in a church, in a meeting, about increasing the... I'm telling you, folks, this is something that every one of us have to be careful with. Don't just write a check each month for let's say, $100 or $400 or whatever, you owe it to yourself to search out, where is that money going? Well, I get it because it's going to feed the poor. No, you be specific. Is it going to feed the poor to some institution where they pay their CEO $3 million a year? I'm telling you, you've got to do this stuff because God's going to, if he said to them, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings, and these people said, God, you're nuts. We're giving you 20% and you only asked for 10 in the Old Testament. But he said, but it's not going into my house, my warehouse.
Yeah.
This is so critical, folks. Even something like this, we've got to, when we give money, we give tithes, we give offerings, we give time, we give of our talents to church. You have got to ask God what you're going to do. What does he want you? Because you may be working 18 hours a day at Church A, and everybody is just exalting you. You're a success with men. But when judgment comes where you're going to get rewards for your good works, you're going to hear from Jesus Christ. I, in 2 Timothy 1:9, preordained the works you would do for me, and those are the works that you would do for me that I determined before the worlds were created. And those are the works you're going to get rewards for. And even though you've been working 18 hours a day, you haven't done one lick of work for me.
Yeah.
I just don't understand this mentality in a church where we've got all these people we go to. I don't want to say that. I've been to churches where if you've got a problem with depression, you got this or that, or you've got a problem with lust, or you've got a marriage problem, or anything. Why do we not, and we're not in churches, in general, in churches, we're not told, get on your knees and seek where God wants you to go. Because God may have a person in another church that you could contact or would be willing to help you.
Yes.
So this is so important. Well, you got anything you want to add to this?
You know, one thing that you said was, you know, all, you know, you may be given so much money and they may be, you know, going to feed the poor, or, you know, or they may be going down and building homes down in Brazil or whatever. But you know what? I don't care how much they're doing to help these people materially. Are they feeding their soul? Are they seeing people truly saved?
I was going to say you're getting into another question, but not really, because when you ask God what he wants you to do with your, with any of your offerings, and that includes money, time, talents.
Yes.
That is what it's all to be channeled for. Are you researching that?
Right.
That's a really good one, because our life, Pastor Dave, I'm sure you've heard him say it. How many souls have been changed? Any?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's really a lot easier to sit in that pew and write a check every week.
Oh, absolutely.
Than it is to talk to your neighbor or call up your brother. Right, or to pray, right, because that takes time. That takes time out of your so-called busy schedule. But,
yes,
you know, when you can just write a check or toss some, you know, some folded bills into the offering, boy, that, and now I've just done my duty, right? I've stuck my 10% in there. But you know what? God would much rather that you give 10% or 20% of your time so that on judgment day, you know that you helped to see people not being thrown into the pit of hell. That's what really matters. Where is your life? Is it here on earth? Where are your cares? Are they here on earth or are they in heaven with God? Do you want to see people? Do you cry in your heart for the people who are going to hell? Or are you more worried about whether, and listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you shouldn't care about people, you know, who are homeless or hungry or whatever. I'm just saying, you know, and I'm not trying to put myself up here, but I'm saying that this should be your thought. When you hear someone say, you know, so-and-so is very, very sick and maybe nigh unto death, your first question should be, you know, and this is what I say, is this person saved? Are they saved? And so that should be your prayer. That should be your first prayer, that God would find a way for this person to hear the word. If you're saying this person is very, very sick and may die, get in there and give them the gospel. Get in there and give them the gospel. That's what they need to hear. They need to hear the gospel. I mean, before they go under the knife or before, you know, they start taking like cancer, you know, chemotherapy or before they, you know, whatever their issue is, you know, cancer is the first one I thought of, but you know, they could be dying from whatever, you know, before any of that happens, give them the gospel. You know, they may have what? 2 days? 2 weeks? They may have less than two.
The pastor in Kentucky that my wife, the church she was raised in, he spoke on this very thing that you're speaking of. He said every one of us have friends or loved ones, relatives, that are on their way to hell, and are you asking God what to do? Now, don't just jump into it, he's saying. Don't just go into them and tell them you're going to hell because you're not as good as me. But are you asking God how you can help that? Because God knows everything. But we'd much rather go to a psychologist than to God or to a pastor.
Yeah.
A pastor is no different than any born-again Christian other than he's got a spiritual gift, maybe, that you and I don't have, maybe.
Right.
I mean, this whole idyllic idea of the past, and I got to be honest with you, in the religion I was in for 43 years, the pastor, the minister, whatever you want to call him, he was elevated to a position that he was definitely above man, a little below God, but above that, no. The only difference in true born-again believers is in the spiritual gifts we have, which are no difference at all. We're all born again. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Why would we not go to God? In fact, let me tell you, Raven, a pastor you know, in a church you know, he went to them once and he said to them, I see all this stuff we're doing. He said, how many souls have you know that were saved and lives changed? And he said they never answered the question. They couldn't.
Right. Right.
They were talking about buying an electronic sign for $9,000 so they could compete with a guy up the street who you know also. And he said, how many souls will we save? How many have we saved? And nobody even made a peep, according to him. And he is generally a pretty honest guy.
Yeah.
Now, if we look at your verse 10 here, they burnt all the cities wherein they dwelt and all their castles with fire. They didn't question, oh, God, do you really want all this good material destroyed? God said, do it, and they did it. Read 11 and 12 in Numbers 31.
And they took all the spoil and all the booty, both of man and beast. Then they brought the captives,
that means
the booty.
The possessions.
And,
that's all the possessions of, even though they killed them. Go ahead.
And the spoil to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho.
Now there again, they bought everything to the high priest and to Moses, which God told them to do. This is just
and
so
Moses,
interesting.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
And Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, have you kept all the women alive?
Ah, now we're going to get into what, remember, up to one point they were obeying God.
Yeah.
But now when it came to something that I want, well, God, what is a couple more women going to be in? Go ahead.
God is in the details.
Yep.
Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord.
In other words, the congregation of the Lord, that is among your own people, these women you left alive. Just look what he's saying here.
Yes.
These women you've kept alive, these cause the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam. In other words, why are they going to Balaam rather than God? These are the children of Israel. And what was the problem? What happened? There was a plague among you. How can you be so stupid? Why would you keep something around that's gonna that cause you grief? But there is that part in us that we want to be like God. We're going to make the decision, God, and if you don't like it, you can just lump it or turn the other way. That's what they're saying.
Yes.
Go ahead with 17.
Yes. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. And as for you, remain outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any person and whoever has touched any slain, purify yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day.
Now, the reason why, just look at this. Verse 17, kill every male among the little ones. Why? Because the man was the one that perpetrated the rebellion against God, the false doctrine, etc. And kill every woman that is laying with a man. Again, where women have had intimate relationships. And you know the story of Samson. The man is very, 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 very weak when it comes to the charms and lures of a woman. And God is just saying, we cannot bring this into the camp again. Understand, folks, these people went 450 years, Israel, where they went through the same problems day after day, repeating the same mistake 9 times.
Yeah.
Now he says here, all the women that have not lain with a man, keep alive for yourself. And also the children, And then the next verse is 19. You see what 19 is pointing towards? It's pointing towards, it calls purification. But what it's pointing towards is our being separate. We have got to draw a line in the sand somewhere as a born-again Christian and saying that I am not going to cross this line. I am not going to support marriage that is an abomination to God. I'm not going to support ministries that are an abomination to God. And you're going to have to make this decision. And don't, if you don't like what I'm saying, don't criticize me. I didn't write this. Remember, I am going to be accountable for the same things that I'm saying here. But this being in the camp 7 days, this is purification according to 7 days, which is God's perfection. Even in those days, he was calling people to come out and be separate. Go ahead.
Yes. Carl, you and I both know someone who stood up.
Oh, yeah, I was. Yep, you got it.
Yep, who recently stood up to this. And I, you know, I applaud this person because, you know, I could say she and nobody's going to know who I'm talking about. But, she stood up to this. You know,
I was referring to her when I was talking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, she had a situation where there was a homosexual marriage. You know, this is an abomination to God. And even in the middle of this was, you know, in her family. So in the middle of being attacked, literally, not physically attacked, but verbally attacked by all of her family because she refused to go because she's a Christian and she said, I can't do this. I can't support it. And her entire family was attacking her, even, I'm going to say, Christians. I can't judge them. I don't know if they're actually Christians or not.
I've known them for over 36 years. They claim to have always claimed to be.
Okay.
But this is written
other
to
people,
the house of Israel. This is written to Christians.
Right. So there are other people in the family who are Christians and saying, well, listen, you know, this is your family. You have to go. And she said, no, but I will stand up and I will do the right thing. And this is what this is talking about here. This is what we are to do. Even in the midst of persecution, we are to say, no, I will follow God. And this takes a lot of strength, and it takes us walking in the Spirit. And, you know, I can only say, you know, this is hard for us to do, but this is exactly what God is saying we must do.
The reason we've got to walk in the Spirit, which means a constant communication with God in our spirit, in our mind, in our soul, in our will, it's because, folks, we can't I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how many times you've been baptized or how many church services you go to or how much snow you shovel for the church. No human being has the capability of withstanding these attacks of the enemy of Ephesians 6:12. We cannot. That's why God says put on the full armor of God, not man's armor.
Yes.
But we want man's armor. We don't want Ephesians 6:12. Well, Ephesians 6:12 is a problem. We don't want Ephesians chapter 6, which says put on the whole armor of God. Because without it, you can't withstand the – without
the persecution,
the armor of God cannot withstand the wiles of the devil. See, that's why, Raven, you said they try hard, but that – You've got to walk in the Spirit because only the Holy Spirit can do this for you.
Yes, that's
right.
I
don't care how many prayers you prayed to give you the strength on your own.
Yes.
I don't care how many seminars you've gone to. I don't care how much psychology you studied, Christian psychology.
Yep.
We are not capable of doing it without God's armor. And that is allow his strength.
Yes, it must be the power of God working through us. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good way of summarizing what I just said. Yes.
Yeah.
Look at verse 20. You said, purify your raiment, which is your clothing, and all that is made of skin, and all goat's hair, and all things made of wood. I could say, okay, Raven, what in the heaven's name is it necessary to all of my clothing that's made of skin, all the work of goat's hair, all the things made of wood? Why does that have to be in here? Very good reason, folks. It's showing you that God is specific. God is not just arbitrary, shooting off the cuff. God is specific. He's going to be specific with you. Maybe we don't want to hear from God because I don't want to know what the specifics are. And don't think I haven't been in that area.
Right.
Because I've had people say, why does he have to say about you'll make it 20 cubits long and you'll do this and do that? God is not interested in us learning a new way of measuring things or how to make an ark. He is showing you that he is detailed in everything, and if you'll only follow his plan, you will succeed according to God. Now, in your succeeding with God, you may fail with men. Are you willing to accept that? Raven, read Galatians 1:10.
Before I get back there, I want to say something because, you know, there may be many parents who listen to this and they may be able to understand this. You know, as parents, when we have little kids, and they say, why do I have to do it that way? Now, they're not going to understand all the ins and outs of what we do as parents. And so our answer is often just because I said so. And we expect our little children to just do things because I said so. You're not going to understand all my reasoning, but I'm your parent and I said so. And this is exactly what God is saying to us, because I said so.
What I don't understand here, Raven, though, is in a period of 450 years, they had nine times they turned from God. Every time they turned from God, they lost thousands, literally 20, 30, 40,000 people dead, killed.
Right. Yeah.
Also, in seven of those nine times, they went into captivity or they were slaves to other people. When God says to do it this way after 450 years of failure, why would they not change? See, that shows you that man cannot overcome the wiles of the devil without God's armor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But sometimes we act like little kids and we stomp our feet and we say, I don't wanna. Yep.
And see, what I'm not talking, folks, this is not me talking or Raven talking in the second or third person. We're looking at this as being taught to us today, right now. Carl, Raven, why have you done it this way? Don't you see that it's led to tragedy?
Yes. I'm just saying, you know, think like a parent, you know, and realize we need to stop acting like our little kids and realize that God, when God says, because I said so, because when God says, this is what I'm telling you to do, we need to just do it. We just need to do it because
here's another issue. I have a feeling that you were not afraid to tell your kids that this is the way it's going to be, period.
No, I was not. I was not afraid to tell them.
I'm not good in that. They can work around me.
Okay.
Now, not Sue. Sue was very good with it. I was not. That's why she did a good job with them, because they did turn out to be responsible people. But I was not good at this. That's why I'm elaborating on this stuff, because a lot of these things I've done wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I totally understand. Now, as they got older, See, and I think this is how it is with us too. As we become more mature, God shows us a little bit more, right? We see things a little more clearly. He shows us a little more. The Holy Spirit shows us more in Scripture, and we understand. We have a little more understanding. But in the beginning, especially when we are less mature in the Lord, He wants us just to learn to do what He tells us to do without argument. And the thing is, as we become more mature in the Lord, we just do it. And then as we get that, as we start to do what He tells us to do without argument, He starts to show us more the reasons why. It's sort of an afterwards. After we do it, then we start to see that's why He had me do that. That's why He had me do that. We start to see it afterwards.
You're right. I can many days, Raven, when nothing on my mind, I'll think of things that happened 60 years ago that I resented, and I can see where God used it. Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Yeah.
Now we're going to read 21.
But it's important for us to just obey.
We're
okay, Galatians. You told me to go to Galatians something.
Yeah, read 1.
You told me to go to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One,
Galatians,
1:10,
what chapter?
1:10.
1:10. Okay. All right. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Amen.
That's what I say, folks. You've got to make a decision. And in most of the churches that I have seen, most, and I'm not saying I'm a good random sampling for statistical evidence, but most of the churches I've seen, the concern is to come up with the goals, the budgets, the plans that are set by man. And I've been in these planning meetings, and I've never been in one where they have ever prayed. They'll pray for everything else. They'll say a prayer they memorized 50 years ago. They don't even know what it says about blessing your food. But I'm telling you,
right.
I've never been in there. I've never been. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying, why is it that when we believe this almighty God knows everything, why is He the last one that we usually direct people to, including ourselves? And I've done.
You're right.
All right, let's go to 21 through 24. Now, 23 gets a little tricky.
Okay. Then Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to the battle, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean."
Think of that. What does the fire represent? The fire represents in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 14, the judgment of God. The works, the judgment of God on our works. Our works, if they're the works that God predetermined for us to do, in 2 Timothy 1, 9, when the fire of God's judgment hits them, they're compared to gold, precious stones, and silver. They will survive the fire. The works that are not the works that God gave us, folks, if you've worked for 30 years and never once sought God's desire or what He wanted you to do, I hate to say it, but the other three works Corinthians talked about is wood, hay, and stubble. And you know what happens when the fire of God's judgment hits that? It turns to a little pile of ashes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything, and the reason you're being so specific here is so everything in verse 23 may abide the fire. You want everything. You only want the results of what goes through the fire, which is what God says to do, not man. I would like if people, after this verse 23, who's ever reading with us or listening, put 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 14, and read that. That'll give you exactly the explanation about wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, and precious stones.
Yes, yes, amen.
Now, what does he say? It shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation. That does not refer to baptism. No word here, baptism. This is referring to separation. The things that are gold, silver, and precious stones are going to be separate from the world. The things, even the good things that are not God's gold, silver, and precious stone, those things are going to burn up. They're going to burn up in the judgment. Those works are. But the result of taking the things that will abide in the fire, everything that may abide in the fire, it will go through the fire, and it will be clean. Nevertheless, it will be purified with the water of separation. This is saying that even though you are following God, you've got to make a stand for what Raven was saying before. You've got to draw a line in the sand and be separate from the world, and that is hard.
Yeah.
This is a two-part statement here we're going through. Not only do you have to be sure that what you're doing is from God, but you have to be sure you're doing it the right way to every detail, even purifying your raiment, all that is made of skins and the work of goat's hair and all things made of wood. And then once you're sure that that will withstand the fire of God's judgment, you then have to go further, and that is you have to separate, because the natural world is going to try to corrupt what you've got. Make sense?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, in verse 24, you'll wash your clothes on the seventh day, and you shall be clean afterward. All you shall come into the camp. What made them clean, folks, was not the water. It was the fact that they were being obedient to God. The water and the 7 days were just symbolic. No different than today. We're baptized. Has nothing, baptism never was meant biblically in Matthew chapter 3, ever implied by John the Baptist to do anything but to indicate your willingness to repent from sin. We got people, many, many people today believe you got to be baptized to go to heaven. You got to be baptized to be saved. I'm not going to go through that tirade. But the baptism by water is symbolic to a true born-again believer of what God has done in washing their soul. And how does God wash your soul? Truly right now, he does it by your being obedient to him. And the obedience is repent and believe the gospel. Don't believe man. Don't believe any fly-by-night person. I mean, yeah, we've got two things. We've got to repent. We've got to be born again. And then we've got to get separate. Because if you don't separate, you're going to be contaminated. And Raven, people say, well, that won't happen. No. Look at Eve. Genesis 2:25. Read Genesis 2:25. I know this is redundant. This was Eve who walked with God in the cool of the day. How can you have a better environment for those people who say, Christian, converting a people, give them a good environment, they'll be converted. Who could have had a better environment than Adam and Eve?
And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Now go to chapter 3, verse 1. This is the very next verse. And Eve had the perfect environment, the perfect walking this, with God before they committed sin. They didn't even know it was sin. But read 3:1.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
The serpent, this Eve and Adam, had the best environment you could have. They were walking with God in the cool of the day before sin. They knew no sin. But what did they do? They did not separate themselves. They mingled with the demon spirits, the serpent. And what happened? He gave them one word of doubt. Did God really, did God really say, do you see where if we don't separate even after being born again, we are going to get lulled back and lured back into evil? It happened to Eve and Adam. Anything I'm saying, Raven, biblically, that is not making sense biblically.
No, it makes perfect sense. Yes, it's. But we like to ignore it because we want to do things our way.
And that's exactly what Eve did. That's exactly what she did because of why. Remember I said that if we don't separate, we're going to be lured back into evil. She would not separate herself. She should have just shut up. Adam was told by God, do not eat of that fruit. He didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat of it. And he obviously told her. And all she had to do, why would she go back and communicate with a serpent? Why would she entertain thoughts about God? Is God really man? In other words, you really believe this Bible? You know it was written by all kinds of different people. You know it's full of contradictions. You know it's nobody can understand it, but esoteric people who have a special gift the Bible doesn't even mention. Folks, why do we want to go back and mingle with that? It's only going to cause you heartbreak. And it does.
Right.
And it will. All right.
It's pride.
We pretty much stressed that. Is there anything else you want to add before we go back to Judges 2?
No.
All right. Now remember, in Judges, we had 9 apostasies lasting 450 years. 9 times God rescued them, brought them back to relationship with him, restored everything they lost, restored all their dignity, everything that they had in 7 captivities lost. 9 times they walked away willingly because they were not willing to separate. Remember that verse 23 we read? In addition, nevertheless, you still got to go through the water of separation. After you follow God's will, then get away from anything that's not of God. Get away from it. If you know you're in a church where the people are not biblically inclined or they don't think the Bible is the end answer to everything, they don't think that, they think that man's education, the wisdom of men, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. So that your faith may be in the power of God, not the wisdom of man. It is predominant.
Yeah.
It's all through the New Testament. Don't go to the wisdom of man. And that is the wisdom of man, folks, for believers, is mainly in the churches. 1 John talks about the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 2, 18 through 24 and 3. 1 through 4, the spirit of Antichrist was alive and well in those days, and that's what John is talking about. Get separate from these things. Don't be around them. In fact, Raven, let's go to that with 2 John. the spirit of Antichrist. Right. But I want you to read 2 John 7 through 11, and this is going to show us if we don't separate, even after you're born again, you must separate. If you don't, listen to what could happen.
For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds.
What does that say to you? What does that say? Are you in a church where you know they're not following, or you're suspicious they're not following the word of God instead of the word of man? Don't
come out.
Think I'm judging
you. Come out from among them and be holy.
What's that?
Come out from among them and be holy.
Yep. Go to Galatians 6:1 and read that. Again,
Galatians.
The whole idea of separating.
And that's exactly what holy means, separate. Brethren,
absolutely.
If a man...
That is the definition of holy.
Yes. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
I didn't write that, folks. And I know there's people that are going to say it can't happen. Once you're born again, it can't happen. You got to make these notes and argue with the Holy Spirit who inspired every word. But I know what people are going to say. Well, they really were never born again. That's not what the Bible's saying, folks. How could they not be born again in 2 John 7 and 8 and lose what they've got? How could that happen? But I don't want to get into that, Ari. That's been going on ever since I became a Christian. I've heard it, and it just leads to nothing but animosity. Read the Bible.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on you on this? Because we all go through these temptations. Yeah, we all go through
this. Exactly. I mean, and, you know, the thing is, as we go through this stuff, and as you said, we all do, we have to be very careful that there's something that you've said, and I have to be careful with this myself, and that is that there is conviction and there is guilt, and there are two very different things, and one comes from God and the other comes from Satan. And it's important to understand the difference between the two and not let the guilt overwhelm us, because the guilt is from the past and the conviction is from the present.
That makes sense. In other words, what she's saying is recognized, because the enemy is going to make you believe that you are, no matter what way you go, he's going to give you that you should have done something else.
Yes. Yeah.
So what,
you know,
what
how,
she's saying is understand the Holy, you're saying the Holy Spirit does not give you guilt then.
Right. Right. He doesn't sit here and say, well, look what you used to be. Look what you've done in the past. Look, where are you really good enough for God? Because we're not. you know, we're not good enough for God. We already know this. But God
yep.
makes us good enough in Him and through
God,
Him.
There's the key. In Him.
Yes.
But you're saying the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not guilt. So if I'm feeling guilt, then obviously what you're saying is that that is from the enemy, and ignore it. Don't get into an argument
right.
with them.
Right. I have that issue. I have a problem. Right. But I just know that I have a real bad problem with guilt. And I have difficulty sometimes, and this is why I love what you said, because I have difficulty sometimes realizing the difference between the two, and I really have to pray about that, you know. And this is what we have to do.
I was just going to say, how do you find out the difference? The same way
yeah.
you find anything out. You go to God. You
yes.
don't go to Carl.
You have to go to God.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to go to God because He will tell us. You know, it has to come from Him. Yeah.
Now, one other point. How do we tell if we want to make sure that we're hearing the right things in church,
mm-hmm.
now don't get into the battle, folks, about arguing about the millennial reign or arguing about the time of the rapture or the Antichrist or what the mark of the beast is going to do. Like I saw, we went nuts within the church with COVID. I'm saying, how do you know that what we're telling you right now, is correct? And I want you to
Scripture.
Hold everybody to this standard. Amen. Go to Acts 17:11. Perfect.
Yep. These were more fair-minded
Perfect.
Than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so.
So, Ray,
yeah.
what are you telling me? I don't know. My pastor's been to Bible college. He's got a PhD. How do you do it? What did you just say there? How do you check to see if we're right or wrong? And when you and I started with Bible studies, I assume in the beginning were unsure where I stood. How did you find out? What is the Bible? What is that Acts 17:11 telling you?
Always compare everything that anyone tells you against Scripture. Compare
Amen.
Everything that... If you think that it's the Holy Spirit talking to you, go to Scripture. If you think it's Satan
Amen.
Talking to you, go to Scripture. If your
Amen.
Best friend comes to you and tells you something about that he believes that God is telling him that you should do something, go to Scripture. And I don't know if you have this, Carl, but I have a couple verses that I put down that to go with
go ahead.
Acts 17:11, I wrote these down
fact,
because they go
on.
Right
let me,
with
let
it.
Me, hold on, let me turn to that and I'll mark them down myself.
Okay, and it
because
is
Acts 17:11 is very clear on how we're to do it,
and it is
okay.
First John 4:1-4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Okay. What's the other one?
No, it's those four together.
Oh, okay.
Those four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do test the spirits, whether they are of God. And this is how we do it, is Acts 17:11.
Yep. Okay. I'm with you. Now, I would like you to put one other with that, with Acts. I've got
okay.
one by Acts 17:11, 2 Timothy 2:7, which dovetails
okay.
right back to James again.
All right. 2 Timothy, what again?
2:7.
Let me get there. Second Timothy 2:7. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Perfect.
And all.
Perfect.
This is Paul.
Yes.
This is Paul,
yes.
the most educated. He actually learned the New Testament studying in the Arabian desert with Jesus Christ for 3 years. And yet he's saying, don't rely on me alone. Go to God. Consider what I say, but go to God.
Yes.
Not to Carl's commentary. Not to Carl's
right.
workbook. Not to Carl's seminar. Or
right.
any other scheme that I've got. Go to God,
right.
folks, for this, please. You've
yeah.
got to separate from the lures that are trying to, they're trying to rip you away. So Raven read here in verse number 8 of 2 John, look to yourselves that you do not lose the things which you have wrought, and you receive a full reward. Because, folks, the enemy is on your back the minute you're born again, and he wants you to lose those things. This is why
yeah.
we've got to separate. Now, I want to read a little bit what Paul says about separation. Let's
okay.
go to Matthew 5 and read 29 through and 30. Just a little bit.
All right. Matthew 5.
We're going to see this is replete in the New Testament. Get away from these false prophets, folks. I don't care if it's your family.
If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell.
And what am I knowing? What am I knowingly compromising with that I don't want to get rid of it, even though I know it's hurt me? Don't think it hasn't
yeah.
happened to me. That's why I'm talking.
Yeah.
If these things hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't be thinking of them off the cuff here. But I've had
yeah.
this happen.
And, you know, we can take this, these two verses here, and apply them not just to our own selves, but to the body of Christ.
Absolutely. The whole body. In other words, individually we got to do it. But if we're doing it individually, the whole body is doing it. That's
right.
a good point. That should be obvious, but maybe not.
Which is what you
All
were
right.
just talking about in 2 John.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be the whole church.
Yes, separate ourselves.
That's why,
yeah.
Raven, I just saw something on the Internet yesterday where the Methodist denomination has come out and told the people, you will. Now, I'm not saying every Methodist church, folks, but you will accept lesbian, LGBT in the ministry and in marriage. You will do it. That's why you're giving credence to what you said there. We not only have to separate individually, but now we got to associate with people who also believe that.
We're going to see big separation in that church soon. There, I would say it's happening already.
It's happening.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
Did I tell you a story about a guy I'm in the Gideon's with?
Yes, you did. So he's in that church. Okay.
Well, he's in yeah, and that church is splitting up. And I said, well, why don't you just tell him you're not going to do it? And he said, we did, and what they told us, and this was his words. They told us if we don't conform to their wishes on LGBT, that they will cut us off financially. And he says, we can't support it on our own. All right.
Wow. So it comes down to money.
Yep. I want to go to Romans 16.
We cannot serve both God and mammon.
That's right. And that's another good one to bring in. Romans 16 and read 17 and 18. And again, we're going to see where the New Testament tells believers, separate once you're a believer. Get away from the stuff that's not biblical.
Yeah. Folks, we are coming to, if we are not on the very cusp, on the very cusp of end times, if we're not in it, we are at the very threshold of it. Romans 16, what?
17 and 18.
All right. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them.
You see hold on. The divisions and the offenses are not that I don't like the color of Raven's dress. The divisions and offenses are contrary to doctrine, to Scripture. Use Acts 17:11 is what Carl and Raven are saying. Is it scriptural? Hold us to that. Go ahead with 18.
For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering.
That means their own appetites, their own lusts, their own greed. Go ahead.
Yes, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple.
And we are simplistic. The gospel is simple. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one can boast. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 10 and read 21.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 10.
Oh, this goes right along with your statement about serving God and mammon.
21.
It's everywhere in the New Testament.
You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. I may make it to this verse on Wednesday night, because I'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know if I'm going to make it there.
I doubt it.
This is a deep chapter, Carl. This is a deep chapter.
I doubt it, because Raven, I know you get into this. The more you start talking, the more the Holy Spirit shows you while you're talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just say something here, and I'm not, you know, Raven doesn't get paid to do this. None of us do, obviously. But if you really want to hear something, it's 7:30. It's not Eastern Daylight Saving Time anymore. It's Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 to 9 on this very Freedomizer Radio. She's going to get into something that you owe yourself to listen to. Okay, let's go. You're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:11.
Okay. 4:11.
This is what you said earlier about we've got to let God's strength work in us.
Yes. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh.
Are you coming tonight?
Yeah.
Are you coming tonight?
Yes, I'll be there.
Okay, I want you to read this verse, because we're going to get communion tonight. I want you to read this verse, because that is exactly what communion, I'll tell you when, but that's exactly when it's, what it's talking about.
Okay.
Okay, go to 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18.
All right. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you.
And what I'm going to do next week, folks, we're going to get to Judges. We will, chapter 2. But I'm going to continue just the verses that I found in the New Testament that tell us that believers have got to take the next step that Numbers talked about in 23, and that's to be separate. It's not enough. You must take that next step. You must. You go to Acts 17:11, and you must test the spirits by which everyone, including Raven and I, are talking about. You can't gamble that we are just wonderful people. You can't. Your soul is dependent on this. You don't want to lose everything you've got. All right, we'll start next week with Ephesians 5, 7 through 11. Why don't you just make a little quick note? Ephesians 5, 7 through 11, and next week will be 11, 13. Okay. That is excellent. Why don't you go ahead and say a final prayer, and we'll get off and let the next program get on.
All right. Father, as always, you have led this study into places that we may not have known or expected to go, but this is your ministry. And we concede that to you, knowing that while we may not know where you're going to take us, it is you who has the right to take us there, and we have no rights in this whatsoever. We believe, Lord, that you are the only one who knows exactly where we should be at any stage of our lives, who knows
what we need
to hear, who knows what our spirit and our soul needs, and what each person who's going to listen needs to hear. And we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is able to give us that knowledge each and every day. In Christ's name, amen.
Raven, before you hang up, I want to accentuate everything you just said. You prefaced it with, you are the only one who knows. I want that to be impressed, impounded in every one of our minds. I want that to be impressed in our mind. He is the only one that knows. It's not your wonderful pastor, Carl. I'm not saying you criticize the pastor or you don't give him respect. You do. That's stupidity. But don't make an idol out of him. There is no idol. God is the Lord. Don't go to God. What you said, Raven, I don't even know if you remember the word, but you said he's the only one that knows. So next week, let's just take that and focus on that as if we would. Okay. We will be back next week, and I thank you for those who are listening. Have a good day. Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.